This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
The schedules are out, ladies and gentlemen. We know where the Seahawks will be at all times next season.
Can I say something now?
What are you going to say?
About the schedule.
We're going to go one by one.
Congrats on that.
You want to know who the last game is?
Dave, who buys a brand new book and
actually,
reads the last page of the book.
The last game is interesting.
Yeah, there's a couple interesting moments. But should we start with the preseason and work our way down?
With week one.
Are you going to be able to make it?
All right.
All right. So preseason game number one will be against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Saturday, August 13th at 4 p.m. And then you've got the Chicago Bears in a preseason matchup, and then the first one's on the road, by the way, Pittsburgh.
At Pittsburgh.
Chicago Bears at home on August 18th, which is a Thursday at 5 p.m., and then rounding out your preseason schedule on the road against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, so preseason, this is kind of unusual because
usually the Raiders are in there.
Yeah, the Raiders are always in there, or you're playing the Chargers.
Yeah.
Typically, usually AFC West teams and yeah, so Chicago, Dallas, and Pittsburgh. But, I enjoyed my trip to Pittsburgh and a couple years ago in 2019 and get a chance to go back to Dallas.
Yeah. You'll see Pittsburgh in some good weather out there. It's August, so yeah. Probably pretty cool. And then the Bears here and then on the road against Dallas. So there's your preseason schedule. Week one, we already know. That was confirmed. The Denver Broncos come to town. That is a primetime game. We also talked about how many primetime games there would be. We'll figure that out at the end. But you thought three. Right?
Yep.
I said two, and we'll get to that coming up. But that's
do you want me to tell how many there are?
No, Dave. That's primetime game number one. So there's one primetime game to open the season. Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos come to town for Monday Night Football. The very next week, September 18th, that's a Sunday, on the road against the San Francisco 49ers. Okay? And then you move to the next week, September 25th. They'll be at home against the Atlanta Falcons. Okay, you jump
there's
in with
September.
On, yeah, that's September. That wraps up September for you. And then you open October on the 2nd of October on the road, 10 a.m. game. Those aren't a thing anymore, are they? Does that need to be noted? Or
yeah, it's funny that a few years ago, yeah, we would talk about that all the time. It was probably right about the early part of Pete's tenure here, and we would go, oh, look at these ridiculous.
Well, based on your comments, I always said hogwash.
Yeah.
Hogwash.
Yeah. What time is it here? Well, it's game time.
Yeah.
Okay. What time is it back home? I don't know. I'm not thinking about what time it is back home. Here it's 1 o'clock and it's kickoff, so let's go.
I still love the film. One day somebody texted into Dave saying, Dave doesn't understand what's happening to his body. He doesn't know. And I'm like, but he played in those games for almost a decade. You don't think he would say, yeah, I would tend to feel sluggish or I'd feel this, that. He's got no idea. You didn't know really what was going on with your body, Dave.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm glad I didn't because my body was typically injured.
And they looked great in the 10 a.m. game last year.
Yeah, Colts, week one. 10 a.m. has not been a problem for this team for years. So it just becomes a convenient excuse when you lose to go, oh, well, 10 a.m. game, body clock's off. What do you expect? They got to travel.
Yeah, weren't they undefeated on the road in 2019? Yes.
Or were they might have been, 7-1? Might have been 7-1. I mean, they've been. Not been a problem. It's an excuse. So they're on the road. It is a 10 a.m. game, October 2nd against the Lions. That is followed the next week with another road game, another 10 a.m. game against the Saints. That's August 9th. And then they come back home on August 16th against the Arizona Cardinals. Then they're on the road again October 23rd, taking on the L.A. Chargers. Back home against the New York Giants. How about that? The Gigantes, as El Hombre likes to call them. Coming in on October the 30th. Excuse me.
Yep.
So that wraps up October right there.
Yep, there's your October. And, 10 a.m. back-to-back games at Detroit and New Orleans. And also New Orleans, that's the point of the season where there's flexibility with the scheduling.
Yeah.
So game time, there's a little asterisk there because that could be changed. But
yeah, get flexed out of there.
Yeah, let's hope that maybe the Seahawks work their way into some favorable flexing.
Yeah, so that wraps up October. So November 6th is game number one for November on the road against the Cardinals. And then this is the one you're excited about, Dave. November 13th, they take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Germany, 6:30 a.m. So that'll be a DVR game for me. But you'll be out there. So that's the 13th of November. They take on the Buccaneers in Germany. That'll be followed by the bye week. So the bye week happens November 20th. When they get back to it, November 27th, they'll play host to the Las Vegas Raiders. How about that? And then that wraps up November. That's your November schedule. And then December, you open it on the road against the Los Angeles Rams and Bobby Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be interesting. And then you come back home to take on the Carolina Panthers, as you always do. You always take on the Panthers. That'll be at home, followed by another home game against the 49ers. That is a primetime game. Is that on Amazon? Is that...
Yes, that is the
Prime Video.
Amazon primetime game. Yeah,
yeah. So that'll be a 5:15 game, Thursday night football on Amazon Prime against the 49ers. The following week, Christmas Eve on the road against the Kansas City Chiefs, 10 a.m. game, that on Christmas Eve. And then New Year's Day is the next one. They'll be playing against the New York Jets here in Seattle. And then the final game of the regular season for your Seattle Seahawks will be a home game against Bobby Wagner and the L.A. Rams.
Thom was particularly excited about that one, was pointing to it rigorously as we were going through it. Yeah, so, and I was like, yeah, they already played the Rams. He's like, no, it's Bobby Wagner's return here. So, but, you know, as he pointed out, first and last game of the season are your two conquering heroes returning to town.
Yeah.
So you got Denver in the very first game, and then Bobby Wagner and the Los Angeles Rams at the very end, January 7th, 8th. So, yeah.
So as we sit, and you talked about the flex, you know, there's a number of games that can be flexed out, obviously, depending on how attractive they are. Right now, two primetime games.
Right.
Two.
But that's up in the air, right?
Yeah, just going into the season. That's
so I know you called two, I called three.
You were way off.
I could end up being right.
You could.
Yeah.
Very easily.
I sure hope so.
Right now I'm right. I could end up being wrong.
Or they could maybe take one away from them. It doesn't say that you can be flexed on that one, though. The Prime Video?
No, those two are locked in.
Yeah, they're locked. So we know they're going to get two.
Yeah, because we've watched games every year going, ugh, why do they have this one in primetime? And you can't flex out of that particular game. So as we sit, they have two primetime games, and we'll see if they play well enough to become attractive to a network that says, you know what, we need them in primetime this week. So they'll flex out. But right now, just two.
So, you know, at Detroit, what I thought, where did the, oh, the Jets. Yeah, that's the oddball one. That's the 17th game, and they get it at home. Because last year, was it Pittsburgh?
No, the 17th game would be the Rams.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the first. January 1st, that's the New Year's Day game. But that's the oddball game with, because you're playing the AFC West, which is, of course, Denver, Kansas City, the Chargers, and the Raiders. So, but yeah, you've got that oddball AFC game with the New York Jets.
And then the last game, they don't have the day set. It says Saturday / Sunday, January 7th / 8th for that Rams game. So time and TV to be determined.
Yeah, you know, a couple of things as we go through here. Do you think preseason goes the wayside? You know, we were talking earlier about like the Pro Bowl and, you know, I just remember maybe 2 or 3 years ago looking at the Rams. The Rams did not start a single starter. Or maybe it was like, you know, 12 or 13. I mean, it was like Aaron Donald, Jared Goff, Todd Gurley. Nobody was playing, and that was kind of unusual. But the NFL is starting to go that way. And, you know, we saw the Seahawks do the same thing. I mean, we didn't see Russ last year. I don't think we saw Bobby. I think a lot of – I wonder if that could be something that maybe they get rid of at some point. What do you think?
Get it completely?
Yeah. Because, all that needs to happen, because everybody looks at it differently. I mean, I remember watching last year, there was a Kansas City-Arizona game, and both quarterbacks were out there. Mahomes actually took a shot. He takes off scrambling and gets hit by a linebacker, and I'm like, all that needs to happen is one guy like him. And, you know, in the NFL, they want to protect the quarterbacks. They want to make sure that, you know, those guys are everything and to their ratings and all that. And somebody like that gets hurt, and then maybe they start rethinking that whole thing.
Yeah, I just –
I would hate
see
it.
Coaches kicking and screaming. I mean,
oh, yeah.
How else do you – I know you evaluate in practice and stuff, and what are you going to do? Do work scrimmages with other teams? Like, you know, the co-practices or whatever the heck they do at times.
That could be. That's a great solution right there because you can control it. And that's the thing that they have scrimmages against each other and they're not going, full on. They might have like a session or two, not an entire game, where you're going out there with your younger guys and going full speed and everything. But still, like kickoffs and kickoff returns and things like that. Yeah, I just wonder if people, because I think the NFL always overreacts. Like I always bring up the horse collar tackle rule, and it's like one superstar gets, I think it was Terrell Owens, got his ankle broken, and they're like, all right, this is a new thing, can't tackle that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, as much as I dislike preseason, I'm just trying to figure, what's the best advantage for the team I pull for the Seahawks, and Pete Carroll's ability and every other coach on that staff's ability to truly evaluate these players. And now, I guess the upside, if they eliminate, it's a level playing field. Everybody's dealing with the same circumstances. So if that's it, so be it. I wouldn't, I'm not going to kick and scream. I'm just thinking from a coach's perspective. Like, this is, would we see some really shoddy football the first couple of weeks? Because the starters hardly are, their participation has become less and less and less over the years. So are we going to look at, week one and two, like, hey, they're still kind of getting their feet wet and they're building up their wind, their endurance, what have you, because there is no preseason. I don't know. It's interesting to think of it. And I think you're right. Maybe at some point they'd completely do away with it because they want an 18-game schedule.
Right.
And that's probably not that far down the road.
That would be the trade-off. So do you hate preseason football because you're not seeing all the starters?
Yeah, it can get a little ugly, a little sloppy, especially when you're getting depth chart. You're looking at the guys at the end of the depth chart. They're guys that they're trying to figure out, are they on the team or are they off the team? They're not competing for starting positions anymore. They're competing for roster spots, and they're going to be special teams guys probably if everybody's healthy. So we see some pretty ugly football, and we see a lot of guys that end up not being here. And so it's not really that compelling in terms of a watch from a fan perspective for me. But I'm looking at it from the coach's perspective, and I feel like the idea of them having no preseason, they'd be going, come on.
Yeah.
What do you want us to do here?
Well, what I love about the preseason, I have to think of the guy. I talked about him a lot last year, but the little running back who was bought the steel-toed boots and was going to go to work, and he was going to work in a factory, and he got a last-second call, and he was like the preseason hero. The last time I saw him, he was on the Chargers. Texted in. 206-421-3776, Mac and Jack's hotline. Another guy, Austin Calitro. Austin Calitro was a preseason guy that just, fought his way onto the roster, really played well. And then DJ Dallas last year. He had, maybe one of the best preseasons I've seen. So, yeah, I mean, those are the things that I, really get excited about the preseason. I like the preseason. I just think maybe it's my, memories of fighting my way into a starting spot, and then
it's great TV for Hard Knocks. You love that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna love the in season Hard Knocks. I would love to see the Seahawks on one of these editions at some point, but that also means that you miss the playoffs for a certain amount of time, right? I'm trying to remember the requirements for being a part of that show.
Yeah.
But
Troy Maine Pope.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I just looked that up. But anyway, I don't know if somebody texted in or not, but yeah, you're right. It's you haven't been to the playoffs for, is it 2 years?
Well, looking at the schedule, does this shape up tougher than you thought? You knew who the teams were going to be. We just didn't know where they were going to be slotted. But you got back-to-back weeks where it's 10 a.m. games. Okay. Maybe I'm underselling that. I've always deferred to what you've told me about that, and I'll take the word of somebody that lived it versus, somebody who's texting in telling me about your body chemistry that you don't understand. if you're out there and you don't feel anything, I don't know that I've heard anybody else say it. I mean, I don't think it's convenient. I don't think they look forward to it, but I've never heard anybody say, yeah, I didn't feel right. It took me a whole half to get my energy or anything like that. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you make it a thing, yeah, if you all of a sudden are looking at it, go, that's why I always talk to people that sit around and complain about how much they hurt. You'll never hear me do that because I don't.
Because you're always hurt.
You speak it into existence, though. I mean, you all of a sudden, you give it time, you give it mindfulness. And that's the thing about going on the road. You just you get on the plane, you sit there, you fly a long ways, you get off the plane, you go to bed. The next day, you got a couple days, usually on the East Coast trip, they'll go on Friday, you know, and then you get a nice, you know, bit of sleep Saturday night. You go out the next day. I mean, it's just not, to me, it doesn't really matter. And those are the only two. Well, no, there's three. The other
there's
one is
three 10
Kansas
games.
City. Kansas City at the end of the year. So
yeah,
after,
that one, that's Christmas Eve.
Yeah. So, you know, you get eight games later after the 10 a.m. start. So it's but no, not a big deal. There was a couple of years, though, where I do remember looking at the schedule, and the Seahawks had like six or five or something.
10 a.m.
like that.
Games.
10 a.m. games. And it's like, okay, that's a little bit much. But no, I don't buy that. And Pete has always made that a huge deal, right? And remember
that it's not a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And also, I remember they had some tradition in 2019 where they all got on the early bus and got out there, and you know, you get awake and going. So yeah, that's not really a thing anymore. But yeah, it's a tough schedule because you look at your own division, number one, and then you're playing the AFC West. A little bit of a break with the oddball game playing the Jets, because you know they're still fighting their way back. But does it seem like we play Carolina Panthers quite a bit?
I feel like they're on the schedule every year. You would think they were in the NFC West.
I know.
Because it doesn't feel like every and I'd have to go back and look, but either the Seahawks are in Carolina, Carolina's here. It's just they're a very frequent opponent.
Yeah, I know we played them back-to-back in 18 and 19, because I remember going out for those. But, yeah, it's a team that typically – and it used to be, you know, Cam Newton versus Russell Wilson. It was always a great matchup, but not anymore. But yeah, it seems like them. Who else? Green Bay, typically is kind of a
yeah. They're not on the schedule this
one.
Year.
Yeah,
yeah. So, I'm trying to think of which, you know, as I'm looking at this. Obviously, Germany will be interesting to see, you know, them take on Tampa Bay and Tom Brady in Germany. What does that look like? What is, you know, where are they going to be at that point of the season? You're going to have a number of games under your belt at that point, so it'll be interesting to see that. Boy, the Raiders and the Rams back to back. That I think the Raiders could be good. I think they could be a good team. You look at the Rams. Obviously, you assume they're going to, barring major injuries, could be more than problematic. They're problematic even when they've been bad. Even when they had your guy Jared Goff there, and they were not a good team. They were still a problem for the Seahawks. So it's there are certain individuals I'm looking at. I'm waiting to see what happens with the Cardinals. I mean, you got the Cardinals. On the first game of November 6th, and then you've got them. Where's the
October 16th?
October 16th. Yeah.
There you go. So the 16th and then the 6th, you play them. But they're the one team going in as we sit right now in our division that I look at and go, okay, maybe the Seahawks will be better than them. They might be able to take, because they got a little bit of turmoil going on there. Who knows? Is Kyler Murray going to play? If he doesn't get his new deal? Because at one point he was saying he wasn't going to. I don't know. Has his stance changed at all? Have we heard anything about that?
No, he's not going to play.
Has he put him back on their his social media or whatever?
That I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think? sorry to interrupt here. What do you think about Bobby Wagner at the end of the year?
I don't really care about it. I don't.
You're super excited about that one.
Well, you don't think that's a big kind of reunion, the fans, how they'll react to that?
I'm just saying that because Mike came and he goes, look at this one, look at this one. I'm trying to go through it. I'm like,
well, we're trying to show the highlights of the schedule.
Like, okay, but what's the big deal about Bobby Wagner coming back here?
You don't think it's a big deal that he's coming back here?
Yeah, I think it's a big deal, but it's not like even the top 10 of what I'm looking at right here.
So okay, so what else are you looking at then?
Look at Thumb. He's now angry.
He's flustered. So
now
you
he's angry.
Here's what's interesting is you open the season with Russell. You close the season with Bobby.
There you go. See, if you'd put it that way, Mike, then I
literally said that. That's the whole point of what I was saying.
Nah, you didn't phrase it the right way.
I don't remember that.
You didn't phrase it the right way. You didn't get the electric factory response you were looking for out of Dave.
I know, because he was looking at me and pointing at it like, huh? And I'm like, no, I'm not feeling it, bro.
How different do you think the reactions will be from the home crowd? I don't imagine there'll be a single boo in the crowd for Bobby Wagner.
No.
He didn't do anything. He got... Him leaving was not his choice.
Exactly. So he'll get nothing but cheers.
Yeah.
People will be throwing roses on the field, Bob. Yeah, but for Russ, no, I mean,
What do you think, 50-50 with Russ or more boos than cheers?
Who was the area code that chanted or sent in the that I'm going to yell
cliches? I think 360, I think.
So funny, man.
Yeah.
So funny, but... Yeah, I think it's – I've seen people that think it's 90-10. I think Moyer and, you know, Nassachobe and, you know, Bump and all those, the preseason radio guys, or pregame, I should say, they were saying 90-10 cheers for Russ.
Oh, 90% cheers?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think so either, but yeah.
I hope it's more cheers than boos. The guy was nothing but good for this organization. I'm sorry. Mad. That's fine. You can be angry that he wanted out for whatever his reasons are. Fine. I get it. I totally get that. But let's look at what he meant to this organization, what he brought to it.
Yeah, I agree. And the more I think about it, the more I think, yeah, it's going to be maybe Moyer's right. I think that's what Paul texted in. But, yeah, so that one. But, no, absolutely zero boos for Bobby. He's going to get cheered. Yeah.
Yeah, if you boo Bobby, then you might just be a jerk. Yeah. What would be the reason? I mean, he didn't leave because he wanted out. The Seahawks said, sorry, that salary, your age, whatever. We got younger guys, cheaper guys. You're going to have to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
That's not it. His will be 100% cheers. He'll get a rousing ovation. And somebody sent in a text. The Spirit of Danny said, Bobby won't play. He'll be resting for the playoffs.
Oh.
Yeah, this is the final week of the regular season. I guess that could be true. But that would be. Even in that scenario, wouldn't that be weird if they held him out?
Yeah, it would be. And also, Bobby, when he was here anyway, wanted to play in 100% of every game. So I think you'd have to drag him off the field. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. So I mentioned they play the AFC West, and then they've got the oddball AFC game is the Jets on January 1st. And then they play the NFC South, which is Atlanta. I mean, obviously they're playing the NFC West, but they're playing Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, and Carolina. And then the two oddball NFC matchups are Detroit at Detroit and the New York Giants. New York Giants were here a couple years ago and
yeah,
came in here with Colt McCoy and beat us. So we owe them one.
Now they got Danny Dimes figuring out they didn't pick up his option, so they'll figure out if he's going to be their guy moving forward or not. People texting in, Josh in the 650, gotta boo Russ. I'll be there to do it. Bobby is getting max love. Yeah, it's not, probably shouldn't even have asked what the reaction would be to Bobby. Everybody's going to cheer him. It is more about Russ. 360, let's see. Russell forced his way out. Boo him. And then serve him a season-ending injury. Now, come on.
Oh, come on.
That's, you'd be better than that, 360. Come on. That's, yeah, I'm not wishing any, even players that I sports hate, I don't want them to get hurt. Yeah. Certainly not a season-ending injury. What's the matter with you? It's craziness.
I have people texting my phone and texting the Troy Maine Pope.
Oh, trying to answer the question.
I remember Troy. So yeah. I typed in Troy preseason Seahawks. Troy Maine Pope pops up. But yeah, that's wow. This segment went fast.
Yeah, one more. I'll be 417. I will be cheering Russ loudly and wearing my jersey. Cool. Like I said, I want him to have a spectacular season individually and go 0-17. And then the Seahawks get that draft pick. But yeah, as far as Russ, I've got no, I wish he were still here. I wish he were still the Seahawks quarterback, but he's not. So we'll be pulling hard for them to go down in a big fiery mess in week number one. He can have a great game and they still lose and everybody wins in my mind if it goes that way. Will this upcoming road trip be the defining stretch of this Mariners season? We'll get into that next. It's Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
So there you go. The NFL schedule is out. Dave and I just went through each and every game. If you missed any of that conversation, check into seattlesports.com after the show on the podcast page. It'll be right there for you. And a reminder, I did another for you baseball fans. You Mariner fans, been doing videos once a week, answering questions, some of them in, you know, fun stuff. Me and Brent Stecker putting that video together with Taylor Jacobs. It's really, really cool work they've done with it. So that is.
Did you guys fight about Suarez?
We didn't fight. I praised him.
Okay.
In the video. I won't tell you why or how. You'll have to watch it.
You better watch it. You want me to tell everybody?
You don't know how.
I don't.
You didn't see it yet. But it is available for you. The link, I tweeted it out there, at Bob Stelton on Twitter, at Wyman and Bob on Twitter, or you can go to seattlesports.com. That video's up there. So kind of have fun with it each and every week.
Did you hear Lefko tell me that in the same breath that we start the season with Russ coming here to Seattle and we end it with Bobby Wagner with the last game?
I didn't hear him say it like that at all. I just saw him pointing to the final week going, look at this one, Dave.
I'm just proud you didn't spoil it.
Yeah, that's true.
That was
true.
It was a major
step. Agonizing for me. 15 minutes.
That actually is a big deal. We were handed the schedules 15, 20 minutes before.
And
it could have
been earlier, and I recommended wait as long as possible.
Yeah, and Dave's got a habit of you know, giving he's a spoiler. You know, spoiler alert.
Just trying to tell people what I know, Bob.
So there was some nervousness about Dave having the information in his hand when it was embargoed. It was embargoed, Dave, not to be spread out publicly. And he was like the guy in the Dr. Rick commercial. He just wanted to say it. Two primetime games. Play Bobby Wagner final week. Bobby Wagner final week. Just was going to
blurt it. He wouldn't care about that.
That's right. He didn't care about that.
So, I mean, we'll probably get this tomorrow or whatever, but you start going through and going, and we'll have a better idea, you know, in a few weeks of what kind of, you know, what kind of teams.
Yeah, we'll go through the win-loss. We'll make predictions.
Yeah.
We'll go through that.
I'm just, you know, I'm just thinking they could be around 500. You know, if they rally, try to find a way to, which they kind of were last year, but I mean, you know, I'm thinking –
First blush, and we'll get into the Mariners here in a sec. First blush, are they better record-wise than they were last year?
Yes. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
How about you?
I think they're equal, too.
Equal.
Yeah.
7-10.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, first blush. That's subject to change.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Mariners, meanwhile, went through a rough stretch. As we said, they played 16 straight days. 16. So today is much needed, I'm sure, just mentally, physically, just give us a day. They're traveling. They're in New York, taking on the Mets starting tomorrow. They lost 12 of those 16 games, by the way, which is just brutal. And it just, you look at this series coming up, and man, A, the Mets are playing really well. They're in first place. B, you open the series. Here's your pitching matchup. You've got Marco Gonzalez taking on Max Scherzer, who's 4-1 with a 2.92 ERA. He's got 49 strikeouts and 9 walks so far this season.
That's amazing.
Matt Brash had 10 walks in 2 games combined.
Yeah.
And not saying they're equal or anything, but I mean, he's rolling right now. Saturday, your pitching matchup is George Kirby. We'll be excited to see that against Chris Bassitt, who is 4-2 with a 2.45 ERA. He's got 38 strikeouts, 9 walks, so he's got a better ERA, a winning record. And then they close it out on Sunday, Robbie Ray versus Carlos Carrasco, who is 3-1, and he's got the bloated ERA, Dave, 3.19.
He's way up there.
33 strikeouts, 6 walks. So you look at these pitchers, you're saying, okay, they appear to have really good command. They're not walking a lot of guys. They all are limiting the damage when you look at the ERAs, and they are all striking out a large number of hitters out there. So this just sets up, you know, with Marco, Kirby, and Robbie Ray. I mean, I like those guys. I think they're capable of doing great things. But, man, this is a tough matchup with an offense that is really struggling to score runs. And you face this trifecta on the road.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. If you go out and do struggle a little bit, how about some support? How about some offensive support,
yep,
especially? Man, we talked about Chris Flexen because I was bringing up Marco thinking he was unlucky. And then you pointed out Flexen's numbers. I mean, he in the one win that he has in the outings that he pitched in his 6 outings, they won 4-1. So there's 4 runs. And what did they get the other 5 games? 1 run.
Combined.
1 run in 5 games is what they got. So, yeah, it'd be nice. I was watching the game this morning. It was Minnesota, and who's a good team, and they're playing Houston. Houston just
hammering them.
Crack open, you know, inning. It was like 5-2. All of a sudden, it's 11-2.
You're getting in the habit every morning of turning on MLB Network as well, huh?
Oh, always.
Yeah. That's my
love
thing.
Yeah.
Walk up, turn the TV on, see what's doing.
I try to copy you, Bob.
You should.
If you do it, I'm doing it.
I'll remember that next time Cliff is on. You say nice things to him.
Everybody loves Cliff. Come on. But it's you hope that, you know, they can pick each other up because that just hasn't happened. But this is a tough part here, and I don't know, man. If you're talking about the San Diego, I mean, if they can take one here and be competitive, you know, if they get blown out in one game, but if they can take one and then at least be in the game, against the Mets, I'll be happy.
These are three pitchers where, as much as I hate tipping the cap, Dave, you're gonna go, well, if the offense gets shut down, it'll be no big surprise because they have really been struggling, but be even less surprising considering who they were facing.
Yeah.
It's not like, it is some random guy that's he's the bullpen starter today, and he shut him down. I mean, we've seen that happen. So I guess it makes a loss a little bit more palatable, but based on the, you know, what's gone on, you got to see something. Show me signs of life. And then you look at the other side, the note that Thumb put on here, the Mets lead Major League Baseball in on-base percentage as a team at .334 and batting average at .256. So not only does your offense have a stiff test in front of them, so does the other side of it, man, where you're just like, oh my goodness, this is it's going to say a lot. It doesn't make or break the season, so to speak, but it's going to test the mettle of this team.
Well, and the one thing, Bob, when you tip your cap to opponents, they're probably thinking that it's not that big of a deal because it's a tiny hat. Bob is tipping his tiny hat.
those caps you get the ice cream in. You think that's what it is?
Yeah, or a yarmulke.
Tipping my yarmulke to him. Maybe there are some yarmulkes out there bigger than my hats.
Yeah, could be.
You never know.
But yeah, it's, you know, the Mets are really good. So yeah, you're right. I'm tired of the whole hat tipping thing. There's a couple, you know, and I liked what Service said during the Houston series, where he's like, yeah, okay with Verlander, but the other ones, not so much.
Yeah,
let's get after it.
I appreciated that he didn't rip anybody, but it was a real qualified praise of Odorizzi, where he was like, and I can't remember exactly how he put it, but the tone was very clear, and B, yeah, he did some good things out there, but you know, we got to get things done. It's essentially saying, yeah, he's fine. We should be much better than what we put out there. So I could appreciate that. All right, coming up, might be a while before we see Mitch Haniger back on the field. We'll explain why that is. Coming up, it's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
This is Seattle Sports Station.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
You guys can text in 421-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Text coming in on the schedule, text coming in on Russell Wilson. We'll all find out what the reception will be on week one, in case you missed it. The Seahawks open their season with a matchup against Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos. Still sounds weird.
Really does.
Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos. Yeah.
Other very, very notable games. Bobby Wagner ends up in the last game of the season.
Bum's ignoring you.
Here in Seattle.
He's not even looking at you.
Here in Seattle.
Again, I have more important things to deal with.
It's the Rams.
He can't stand the sight of you.
Come to here and to Seattle. You also pointed out the Rams.
I mean, I could just come back and ask why Dave doesn't think it's a big deal that one of the most beloved players in franchise history coming back is not a big deal.
Yeah, but you just kept pointing at the thing, and I was like just instantly wanting to resist looking at it because you were just kept tapping it.
Well, you were looking at the road game, and I said, no, that's the home game.
He was looking at his travel schedule. That's what he was looking at.
There we go.
He's
okay.
Like, where am I traveling?
He's like, how many LA trips do I get?
See, yeah. Lefko, I was looking
for... You get two LA trips. There you go.
LA's good.
One on my birthday.
Germany. You get Germany.
Wait, when's your birthday?
October 23rd.
Okay.
They play the Chargers.
Yeah, Germany, I was just looking at, like, so this year there's, three games played in London. Tottenham, which I think we were supposed to play there the last time the Seahawks went, and then they moved it to Wembley.
Mm.
But, because I think they were refurbishing the place. Azteca, Mexico, the Cardinals and 49ers, and then Seahawks, Bucks playing in Germany. That's going to be a cool trip. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting season. So take a look at the schedule. You guys can draw some conclusions. We'll get into, you know, predicting wins and losses once we get a better feel for this team, who's on it, who's not. Meanwhile, the Mariners, as we talked about with the day off, they start their series against the Mets, which, just looking at it on paper, we all know it can go a completely different direction. Maybe they sweep them out of nowhere. All of a sudden, the offense comes to life against three really good pitchers on the road. That would be very Mariners, wouldn't it?
Why are you laughing so hard?
Because
you say that,
it seems so unlikely. Their offense has just been so flat. And here you are on the road against a first-place team who's been playing really well against three pitchers who have just got it going right now. And you're just going, well, this doesn't look good at all on paper. And then it would be just very Mariners-esque to go out there and just blow the doors off them.
Well, it's funny. You know, they're going to play the Mets. It's not funny. They lead the MLB in on-base percentage, .334, and batting average, .256. Remember, I think it was after 2 weeks The Mariners were top five in both of those, and now they're not. I think the highest.
They're not.
And now they're just not. not anything. But yeah, it's you know, part of it's because of Mitch Haniger, some unluckiness with Winker, but maybe all that stuff goes away. And I'll tell you what, if they're able to take two out of three, that would be something that I think everybody would be incredibly fired up, and especially the Mariners, because that, you know, we talked about playing on the road. I think for athletes, there's always a little bit of a chip on your shoulder when you play on the road. It's unfriendly. You like making the – I liked it when you just heard silence in, you know, a crowd, especially a place like Kansas City. And, you know, you're going to the Mets fans there. Are they supposed to be worse or better than the Yankees? We should ask El Hombre this question, but I don't know how Mets fans are. But it could be nice shutting up people.
He'd probably say they're worse because they're in the division.
They're in the division, yeah.
He roots, so he hates them. Sports hate. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure, listen, the Mets are this organization that's always been the little brother to the Yankees, and I'm sure there's some chest puffing up going on out there, everybody feeling very sure of themselves and very, very confident. So, yeah, it could be a loud, rambunctious crowd that they're going to be facing out there at, what is it? Is it City Park? City Bank Field?
Yeah, City Field.
City Field.
Yeah. Be careful when saying those words. One broadcaster, right when it opened, made a mistake. Didn't enunciate well.
Did he throw an H in there? Uh-oh.
No, he threw an S sound instead of a C.
Instead of City.
Yeah. He was trying to say, I think, honestly, because Shea Stadium had just closed, so the announcer started to say Shea.
Dave just got
in. Corrected it. Yep.
He got caught in between.
Dave got caught in between.
I get it.
No, I got it in the very beginning. You were talking about City? That's an easy one right there.
Yeah. That goes right into his... the bummer in all of this, just looking at the Mariners is, and we touched on this yesterday, and again, you know, after a Mariner game, we're on, maybe not our normal audience is there in totality, but the story that Ryan Divish wrote a couple days ago about Mitch Haniger and the sort of prognosis for his return, they were saying 10 to 12 weeks, typically with what he's dealing with now. Fingers crossed for a speedy recovery. Hey, he's way ahead of schedule. He's looking fantastic. He's got no pain. There's no swelling the next. All that stuff you're looking for. 10 to 12 weeks. I mean, we're talking about his return in July.
So depressing. I mean, who have we seen out at right field in other than Kelnick? And we've seen Demo out there. He, you know, made a couple of nice catches out there.
I think that's it, right?
Is it Dylan Moore and Jared Kelnick?
We've seen Mitch, obviously. We've seen Kelnick. Has anybody else played in right field this year?
I don't think so. But anyway, and you know, if Kyle Lewis can come along and they can kind of control, it's still just sad to me that he's 25 or 26 and that they have to. I mean, it's like Dwayne Brown. I mean, it's like an older player that you're having to manage his pain and, you know, his knee and everything. It's a shame, but at least maybe you can get something out of the bat and a little bit.
Yeah,
out in the field.
How'd you feel about it? And I'll play this cut one more time from Jerry DePoto talking about the latest with Kyle Lewis.
As has often been the case with Kyle, kind of a bit mercurial, you know, lots of highlights. He's swinging the bat very, very well. And, you know, unfortunately, it hasn't been as easy for him to bounce back after a day of playing defense. But we're making progress. He should be out there again tonight and hopefully for the next three. And then we'll reassess where we are as we get through the weekend with the Mets.
I mean, that's, one hasn't bounced back after a night of playing defense. That's not a normal meniscus response. No. And I'm just keep going back to that, and not to minimize what, you know, he's had, you know, I'm sure meniscus was problematic, but that it just feels like there's something else happening. I mean, just anybody I know, I've had a meniscus situation. You've had it. Lots of our listeners have had it. This is when it happened. He was 20. I think he just turned 27 fairly recently. 26-year-old guy healing from those things are usually a little quicker than what's been going on with him. And I know it's the same knee that suffered this trauma. He's had three procedures on it. So I don't know if that impacts his ability to recover, or is something going on where it's one of those bone-on-bone situations. And I don't know. It just feels like this is a much bigger deal than they've ever really let on.
Yeah, he's too young for bone-on-bone, that's for sure. And then, you know, the other thing, I'm not trying to downplay it because you got to be an incredible athlete and, you know, you're running around out there, but how much? I mean, how many times is he in like a dead sprint? Or, you know, sometimes it comes right to him, doesn't have to move that much.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if there's nine innings and you have to, you know, have eight or nine different sprints, that upsets his knee.
Or maybe just standing, being on his feet that long.
Yeah.
You know, going back to what Amsinger said, you know, just getting in that condition just to stand out there for that long and, you know, maybe any movement, him jogging in, somebody else makes the play, or him jogging to back somebody up, running to back somebody up.
Right.
You know, it's just all of it. But just the idea that he plays one night of defense and is not bouncing back the way they'd hope, but they're making progress. It's like, ugh, boy, this is really qualified, you know, these statements of optimism. So we'll continue to root for the best with him and Mitch Haniger, of course. Meanwhile, we've got one of the great people we speak to on this show coming up next, talking about the Seahawks defense and what we might see from a team that is technically a 3-4 with 4-3 or 4-3 with a 3-4 concept. He's going to explain it all.
I don't even remember which way it goes now.
I think it's a 4-3 with 3-4 concepts, I think, is the way they've termed it. We'll see what Cliff Averill can make of all of that. He's going to join us next. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com.